This is a special Sunday. This is Pentecost, which is the one time each year that we gather together. It's 50 days after Easter to remember the beginning of the church when the Holy Spirit came down upon those who were gathered and faithfully waiting and praying for whatever this gift was that Jesus had told them was coming. And the Holy Spirit came, and Peter began to preach out about Jesus, and 3,000 people in one day believed in Christ, repented, and were baptized, and they began to do life together. And so this morning, we are going to have a spirit of celebration, this gift that we call church. It can be a little messy, it can be a little quirky, and yet it's always beautiful because it's an expression of God's heart. It's God's dream, our life together, worshiping Him together. We didn't think this up, God did. And it is our joy to get to share in His dream as we come together as brothers and sisters, celebrating the gift of worship, the gift of community, the gift of church, and most of all, the gift of the Spirit that's in the center of it all. If you're a guest this morning, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to BCC. I would invite you to look in your pew where you'll find a card like this. And if you would just take a moment to fill out the front side of that card. Later on in the service, you can hand that in, and that'll just help me get to know more about you in the days ahead, help you know more about us. In the back of that card, we may all look at that later on, so hold on to it, but we are glad that you're here. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I want us to hear the first part of the Pentecost story. This is Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, the same one who fell upon your church with fire 2,000 something years ago, would you fall afresh on us this morning? Could we feel that mighty rushing wind? And could you ignite in us our awe and our wonder at who you are, O God, and our holy passion to be your people, to share your good news, and to repent and be baptized and live as if we have repented and been baptized. Would you blow through this place? Would you light up this place, O God, in a new way today? Holy Spirit, you are welcome right here. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are still going to be in Acts chapter 2. After the welcome, the verses you heard there, Peter preaches the first Christian sermon, and it is a strong statement that Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified and the one who was risen, is Lord of all. And the story picks up at the end of his sermon, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Would you pray with me? And now, Holy Spirit, as we turn to your word, as we remember our story, we do ask that you would awaken us to live out this story today. And so, Spirit, would you fill this place and help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 50 days prior, they'd met in the upper room. Jesus took the bread and the cup, saying, my body, my blood, for you. The next day he would be crucified. The third day, risen from the dead. For 40 days he would walk on this earth in his resurrected body, convincing any who would see him that he was alive. And because of that, everything was now changed. 10 days prior, they had gathered together in Bethany, and Jesus looked at them and he told them that it was now time for him to go away, time for him to go to the Father. And he passed the baton on to them, saying, you're up, you're up. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait together until God's promise came upon them. And up to heaven, Jesus went, actually trusting that his people might do what he had commissioned them to do. It's a lot of trust. For 10 days, 120 people had stayed together, prayed together, waited together, just like Jesus had said, wondering together what God might have up his sleeve next. And on day 10, it happened. The sound was first, like the rush of a violent wind. You hear it. You hear it. You feel it. You see, the Spirit is often heard before the Spirit is seen. And then the fire in the shape of tongues resting upon each person. And as the tongues of fire rested there, what the Spirit was saying is, you are part of the plan. You've got this fire above you to ignite the fire within you, to tell the good news of Jesus alive to all of the people who gather among you. The Holy Spirit filled each one in that place. And with that filling, they immediately began to speak in the languages of every person in their vicinity, telling the good news of Jesus. And at this, the crowds start going crazy. They're hearing all these Galileans. Galileans are kind of like country folk. And these Galileans are speaking the truth boldly in all kinds of different languages. Country folk aren't really known for speaking multiple languages. They began to ask themselves, where did these people get this confidence, this courage, this knowledge? What is happening? Peter begins to preach. He says, you guys, what's happening? This is what the prophet Joel spoke of many, many years ago. This is the Spirit of God being poured out among us. This is God's dreams becoming our dreams in this very place. Peter, this is the man who just a few weeks before that was shaking in his boots, denying that he even knew who Jesus was. And now here he is standing tall and declaring to one and to all the saving power of Jesus for thousands to hear. The crowds, it says, their hearts were struck and they began to ask each other, what are we supposed to do with this? What do we do with what we're hearing? Peter responds, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And 3,000 people are baptized that day. And immediately, it says, they began to devote themselves to God's word, to life and community, to breaking bread together, remembering day in and day out Christ's sacrifice for them, and to praying together. And thus began the church. This is our birth story. God dreamed a dream one day of how his heart would be seen, of how his work would continue with Christ now in heaven, seated at his right hand. God dreamed a dream, and God's dream was this thing called church. And 2,000 years later, here we are, participating in God's wild, beautiful, messy, brilliant dream. Happy birthday, church. You see, we're part of a dream, dreamed in the heart of God, breathed forth from the lungs of God, ignited from the passion of God into us. And on this day, we stop everything and we come together to celebrate that we have a place in God's great dream. There's this big movement in America today that says I can follow Jesus and have nothing to do with the church. And it's just false. We didn't create this thing called church. God did. It's his dream. Yeah, church can be hard, and yeah, 10 a.m. Sundays can be inconvenient. Doesn't matter. It's not our dream. It's our God's dream. We can't love our God and have nothing to do with his dreams. That's not love. We love God, and we have something to do with his church because we love his dreams. So when we celebrate birthdays with people we love, there are two things that are appropriate in these celebrations. One of these is naming in their midst, in a card or in their presence, the reasons that we love them and are grateful for them. You do that at birthdays. And second, we offer to them our hopes for what might still be in their years to come. That's the "and many more" part. Gratitude for who they are. Dreams for what still might be. This makes for a good birthday blessing. It's appropriate. And that's how I want to celebrate the church's birthday this morning, with gratitude and with dreams. I could celebrate the universal church that's met for 2,000 years in every place around the globe. That would be a lot of fun. But this morning, I want to zoom in on our own little way that we join in God's dream. In this very church, BCC, at this very time in history, 2021, in this very place, Mason County, Washington. I am so grateful for this little church. And I could keep you here all day long just saying all the reasons why. But you already probably have zoned out, so you wouldn't like that. But I've got to tell you some of the things that top the list, because I just love this church. Do you love this church? Love this church. I am so grateful that we are a singing church. If you've tried to listen to our live feeds at all, if you just are coming back, or if sometimes you just like to re-listen, you'll notice that during the music part, sometimes even on the live feed, the camera's right here, and it can be kind of hard to hear the band. Because it's you guys, your voices are singing out. I've had band members, no names mentioned, that one right there, say, can we move the camera so we don't hear all the people as much? And it's like, some of y'all don't have the best voices. But I thought about, it's like, you know what, we can't. Because it is our voices, it's our singing church that makes us beautiful. We know that our gifts are a little tainted and off pitch sometimes. It doesn't matter, we sing out. Don't you love that, Mitch? our crazy little voices. And the pandemic, the one thing, even though we did worship in 1,000 different ways, the one thing we never stopped doing in this church is we never stop singing. And I've been a part of lots of churches. I've been at churches where people just kind of sit back and mumble quietly through the songs. And I've been at churches on the other end in big arenas where this big expert kind of band comes out with lights flashing and they just do their thing like a concert. And again, everyone just kind of watches the band do what they do. Not us. We don't come to this place to observe someone else worship Jesus. We sing. We sing together songs of victory and songs of hope and songs of love for Jesus. And we sing songs of amazing grace. If there is a song to sing, we sing it here. And I love that. I love that because that's exactly what the saints and the angels do in heaven right now. So when we sing out together, sometimes it feels a little bit like heaven is right here with us. You know why? Because it is. I am so glad that we are a church that sings. I'm so grateful that we are a Me Too church. And what I mean by that is when someone comes to this place and they share of their brokenness and their failures and their shame, BCC is the kind of church that just says, hey, me too. I'm a mess too. I desperately need Jesus too. We're not really a people who try to fake our Sunday best when we get together. But we just show up as the quirky, fragile, in need of grace people that we know we really are. And I believe that's what makes us really beautiful. We're a bunch of people who've come to Jesus in our very own places of sin and sickness and pain. And we just keep coming. And we just keep stumbling into His grace. And so rather than stand over and above the hurting, we recognize that we are them and they are us. Our chorus in this place is not, oh, poor them, bless their hearts. But me too. I need Jesus too. I love that about this church. I'm so grateful that we are a tabling church. Oh, you guys, there are all kinds of groups gathering around tables right now. If you're not gathering around a table with people in this church, I tell you, you're missing out. You're missing out on the good stuff. Homes are being opened every single week. Stories are being shared. Messages of belonging are ringing out. And it matters because transformation happens around the table. Go read the Gospels and look at every time Jesus shows up at a table. Something's gonna change. Real community happens at the table. Just last Sunday night, as we were finishing up dinner at the Bilderbeck's home with our small group, I overheard my friend Tina tell Debbie, "You know, I just feel like this is the place I can be myself and be really known." That's what happens at the table. And I am so glad that we are a church that tables together, because that means that we are a people willing to be transformed together. Find your place around the table, I beg you. Because in a nation that is so divided, our life around the table shows that there's always another way. I'm so grateful for every single table that is set in this place every single week. I'm so grateful that we are a celebrate with you kind of church. Not a competition among us, but this spirit of withness. That's not everywhere. What's a joy for one is a joy for all, and we celebrate that joy in this place. Our friend Sherry preached her first sermon here just a couple weeks ago. And afterwards, she told me at least twice now, "I'm just so overwhelmed by how well the church supported me, celebrated me, affirmed God's work in and through me." Amen to that. Just a couple weeks ago, I had my graduation from my school program, and they told us it was going to be virtual, and I was a little bit bummed that we weren't going to get to go to Portland and have this little graduation. And could I tell you that as I gather in this place with so many of you that left whatever you were doing on a Thursday at 4 p.m., what an inconvenient time, you gathered right here around me. And whenever they called my name, you set off confetti cannons and you jumped up and down like I was your own child, like I was your own sister. I was overwhelmed. And as I went home that day, I said, "You know, it would have been so much less of a blessing if I graduated in Portland all alone. I got to do it with the people who just took time in their day to celebrate me." Who does that? We do that. Whenever I came back from Texas in January, engaged, not going to lie, I was a little nervous. Small town, small church, pastor and worship leader, engaged, what? I didn't know what I was walking into. That Sunday morning when Andy stood up here with me and Guy and you all stood in our presence and offered a blessing over us, celebrating God's goodness in our lives, I was moved in the deepest parts of my being. The gift of celebration. In a world that is bombarded by this media that thrives all the time on bad news, this world that tells us that we've got to compete to be on top, our choice to celebrate shows another way. And our world could use some great big old doses of joyful celebration these days. I'm so grateful we find that here every single week. I'm so grateful that we really are a community church. From the church's inception in the 1940s, that word community has been right in the center of who we call ourselves and who we are. It is deep in our DNA. In this world that says turn inward and keep whatever is good to yourself, this church has a long history of this determination to keep turning outward and to share all that's good in here with all of our neighbors who need to know of the love of Jesus out there. We don't keep it to ourselves, and that's beautiful. That's right. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that we are a diverse church. Politically, ethnically, economically, theologically. Did you know that we didn't all vote for the same person in 2020? Don't even say who you didn't, but did you know we didn't all vote for the same person? Did you know that we're not even all born in the same nation in this room? Did you know that we don't all have the same amount of money in our bank accounts? Not even if you round up to the nearest $100,000? Did you know it? Did you know that we don't all agree on what it means to be pro-life? Did you know that we don't all agree on what the Bible says about sexual orientation? Did you know that we don't all agree on how many days it actually took God to create the earth? And did you know that that's okay? Did you know that our diversity in these things isn't our greatest weakness and the threat that's going to undo us, but rather it is the most beautiful thing about us? How boring if we all thought the same on these things. A diverse people who may have never been friends out there come to the table of Jesus and lift up the same songs of hope in Jesus and know deep in our beings that in Jesus we really are one. We're not uniform. We don't want to be uniform. We're not all the same. We don't want to be the same. I don't want to be like some of you, and you don't want to be like me. But we are one in love and in compassion and humility and in grace. In a world that says, if you don't think like me, well, then I've got no room for you. Our willingness to keep showing up to love a people not like us at all and daring to call them brother and sister because Christ says so. That shows a better way. That shows the Jesus who ate at the same table as tax collectors and zealots sort of way. I'm so grateful that no two of us in this room are exactly the same. And yet Jesus in his mysterious way makes us one. I'm so grateful that we are a want to be here church. Coming from the South, there's still, even in 2021, some element of this idea that church is just kind of something you do. It's part of the culture. Not so in the Pacific Northwest. Not when there's camping all around and 10 a.m. football games and online preachers. And yet every Sunday, this room is full of people who could have been in 100 different places, one of them just at home sleeping. But here you are, because you actually want to be here. You want to be where God's name is lifted high. You want to be where God's people come together to encourage each other to keep on keeping on in the faith. You want to be where God's word is received and where our gifts are shared. You are here because you want to worship God, and you want to worship God with us. I thank you for that. And I want to be here too, for God and also for you. And I am so grateful that this is a church full of folks who just really want to be here. What a beautiful gift we offer to our God when we are a people who just want to be with him and just want to be with his people. I'm grateful that we are a resilient church. Here we are, the other end of a pandemic. Here we are still going strong. I might say healthier. And since I've been here, only God can do that. Those who have been here a long time, for decades, you have seen that there have been splits along the way. Here we are, still going strong. My friend Pam likes to tell the story of when her and Andy came to the church. And she says, you know, I just had this belief in my heart that when you join a church, you join that community of people for the long haul. Knowing that there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be heartaches and celebrations. She said, when we said we were in, we were in. And my friends are resilient. They've seen the ups and the downs. Here we are, still going strong. Seen pastors come and go. I've had so many of you say, oh, it's getting close to year six. Are you leaving? There's like this anxiety that people just leave you. Yeah, Jimmy, I'm talking about you. There's this anxiety within all of us, though, that people are just going to leave us. You've seen it happen. Here we are, more leaders than you can count on two hands, still going strong. After so many of your own stories have brought you such pain in your life, here you are, still going strong. We mess up around here. And we get up. We've been pushed back. God carries us forward. We are a church that's been through stuff because we're made up of people who have been through stuff. And yet here we are, by the grace of Jesus, we are still going strong. And I am so grateful for this resilient little church. It's the Holy Spirit who makes us so. I could go on, but suffice it to say, on this church's birthday, I am thankful. I'm thankful for the great big church and all the ways it carries out God's dreams in the world. And I am thankful for our little church and the way we carry out God's dreams here and now in this little pocket of God's world, in our chapter of God's beautiful dream of God's story. With gratitude for what is, I can't help but dream about what still might be. Because the very best birthdays, they give some hopes for the future. In Acts 2, when Peter's quoting the prophet Joel, he said, Joel said, when the Spirit pours out, we will dream God's dreams. So here's some of my dreams that the Spirit keeps giving me for us. I dream of a church that is filled with disciples of Jesus, not just converts. Matthew 28, as Jesus is going up into heaven, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, a convert's just someone who at some point in their life said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'll trust him for heaven. And that was that. A disciple is someone who is walking in the footsteps of Jesus. In the Jewish culture, rabbis would have their little group of disciples, and they would say that the really faithful disciples at the end of the day would go to bed and they would be just covered in dust because they had walked so close behind their rabbi that they were covered in the dust from their rabbi's feet. That's what I dream about for us, that we are a people walking so closely to Jesus that we are actually becoming like him. Disciples. They talk with Jesus. They sit with Jesus. They walk with Jesus. They love the people that Jesus loves. They lay down their life with Jesus every day. I pray that we are those people. I dream of a church filled with people who read the scriptures often and deeply, who turn these beautiful words over and over until our hearts come alive to them. When's the last time you read scripture and your heart burned within you? I pray it was this morning, at latest yesterday. That's my prayer. That's my dream. I pray that we would be a church where people gather together often, always, just to pray. I pray for a day when it's not just me and Danielle and Charles Berger and our monthly prayer gatherings. I pray for that day. I pray that there are people gathering all the time together just to sit in silence and listen for God's voice together. Disciples just can't get enough of Jesus. They always want more of him. They order their lives around finding deeper intimacy with him. I dream of a church full of disciples, people walking that dusty path right behind our rabbi Jesus. Disciples go into the world doing the work of Jesus. As Jesus is ascending into heaven, the angels told the disciples, stop looking at the clouds. You've got work to do. Batons in your hands. Go share this Jesus with the world around you. I dream of a church where every person in it is on mission, knowing in our heart of hearts that we've got kingdom work to do. We're not here to stare at the clouds and wait for Jesus to come back one day and get us. That's a convert. That's not a disciple. We are here to be bearers of good news. We are here to be healers of broken lives. We are here to be givers of hope and of truth. We are here to actually join Jesus in bringing heaven to earth. We are here to carry on the work that Jesus has actually called us to do and actually believed we would take him at his word. Your workplace, it's your mission field. Your neighborhood, it's your mission field. Your zip code, it's your mission field. Your Facebook friends, that's your mission field. I dream of a church where we see what's true and we gladly step up to the plate, dreaming God's dreams for the people around us. with our God. I dream of a church where every gift represented in this room is recognized as a gift from God for the purposes of God. What gifts do you have? Actually, think of a few in your mind. Participate. You don't say it out loud, but what gifts do you have? What skills do you have? What can you do that most of us in here probably can't? Could you use those gifts for God's kingdom? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. Yes, you could, because God gave those to you. And God gives us gifts because he actually intends for us to use them in the work of his kingdom coming to earth. Your gifts are not just a coincidence, and they're not just for you to keep to yourself. God gave that to you for his kingdom's work. My friend Jill, a couple weeks ago, came to me. She's a counselor. She's a therapist by trade and by calling. And she said, you know what? I pour out my skills, my gifts for my clients every week. And she said, God just kind of hit me over the head. And he said, Jill, you pour out to them. You're touching lives at work. What about your own church family? There's people right there that need the gift of healing through the skill, the gifts that you've got. And she said, Jamie, I want to create a space for our church to come and to receive counseling. She said, I'll do it for free. She said, but I've got a gift and I've got to share it with these people right here, my own home. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's the stuff of the Spirit. Now imagine this, 120 gifts set free. Because that's about what we are on a good Sunday. Imagine 120 gifts named within us and offered to God to use however he wants for his people right here to have a chance at loving him more. I tell you, if there were 120 gifts set free, not one person sitting out, I tell you, our church, our town would be absolutely turned upside down in no time at all. With 120 gifts set free, I dream it and I know it. Every person experiencing real spiritual growth. Everyone engaging in real outreach so others may grow in Jesus too. I dream of us being that church. Jesus needed 12 to change the world. We've got over 100 to transform a town of just 5,000 or so. Odds are there's not a one in Belfair who isn't connected to at least one of us in this room right now. If we all took our calling seriously, disciples, missionaries, every single one of us, this little town could begin to look a whole lot like heaven coming to earth. Belfair, Washington, as heaven among us. Yeah, I see some of you laughing. Don't make fun of my dream. Because remember that church is God's dream for how his kingdom will come to earth. And so this church has got to be part of his dream for how the kingdom will come to at least this part of the earth. It's not my dream that seems far-fetched. This is a God dream. And it turns out our God knows what's possible. I dream of a church of mentors for our young Christians. That's how discipleship happens, after all, through mentors. We've got little ones in our midst who are here to get the foundations of the faith that will carry them their whole life through. They're growing up in a hard world. Many of our teenagers who come, they come from such hard homes. Wish I could tell you all their stories. And they come to this place wondering if there's hope for them. If there's really another way, if there's really a meaningful future, they come here wondering if God is really real and if he really does love them. And they come here. And you know, we have one couple who pours into our kiddos on Sunday mornings. It's just me and Polly on Wednesday nights. Sometimes just the two of us have 15 kids that we're trying to pull duct tape crafts apart for. It gets crazy in there. And our teens, they have a few more adults pouring into them. A couple on Sundays, a few more on Wednesdays. But did you know that all of those who come for our teenagers, besides Guy who helps lead them in worship, are women? we've got a room full of young men who don't have a father in their home who knows Jesus. And they are coming here looking for some picture of how to be a man of God in the 21st century. And there's no men among them. When I see these boys, these are our boys, our boys. My heart cries out with Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. These young men are seeking the ways of Jesus here, and I dream of a church where men who are walking with Jesus might claim them as their own and mentor them. Do you know that we've had about 6 women signed up for youth camp for like a year now? And plenty of those have full-time jobs and are taking vacation leave that week. Did you know that I've been begging the council to help me find one man to give a week to our teenage boys this summer? This is something that my heart dreams of, claiming these boys as our boys, growing them up in Jesus. Most of all, I pray for a church where everyone in it has hearts on fire in love with God. Dirty hands that come from a people engaged in the work of God. I pray we're a people daily being transformed by Jesus and that we don't dare keep it to ourselves. I pray that we wouldn't rest until the Jesus who is changing us in here touches everyone out there. I pray that we'd be a church who is pressing on until God's kingdom comes to Belfair as in heaven. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but God is behind these dreams. Church is God's dream. And these are just visions of a church fully alive. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but the living God is dreaming too. So I'm not the only one. I hope today you'll join us and we can move forward into God's dreams as one. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you're the reason for the beauty in this place. You're the reason for the resilience in this place. You're the reason for the love in this place. You're the reason for the hope in this place, the joy in this place. You're the reason for the little kids and the teenagers and the senior adults growing in you in this place. Keep it up, oh God, keep it up. And God, you're the one who's always calling us deeper, who's always leading us into more. Help us trust you. Help us participate with you. Help us dream your dreams. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.